Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello. Hello and welcome to... Oh, we double-teamed it. Oh, no.
It was like Simon and Garfunkel there. It was beautiful. The harmonies.
Should we harmonise it? Yeah.
Oh, I thought I should get up off my stool like Westlife.
We're both wearing open shirts and there's a wind machine around as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, hello, welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. God, we're so unprofessional. We never know what we're doing. Absolute idiots. But welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Blake Harrison. Joining me, as you've already heard, is Stu Whiffin.
Hello.
We're having a bit of a whose beard is greyer debate today. I think mine looks greyer because in the because my hair's so dark that in the chin the white hairs really stand out. But you think yours is a bit greyer?
Well, I think mine's more greyer all over, and the light because we're recording this at like 9:15 at night. We obviously today there's a time difference, so it's an evening record. So the light where I'm recording is not very good. So it's actually making me look really, really grey. Whereas the rest of your hair's quite dark. Your moustache is quite dark. You look like you've just kind of dipped your chin in an ashtray and it's just that like bottom little bit. The rest of it's like it's still quite dark, whereas I'm literally, the more every time I literally glance back at myself in the screen, I'm getting grayer by the second. Look at that, it's like it's really grey on top as well.
Well, I tell you what did add to the gray hairs in my beard was the stress of organizing this interview, because it was all going swimmingly until earlier when we were both on the Zoom chat going, oh, our guest isn't here yet. And then I looked up the time difference and realised I'd got the time zone slightly wrong. And we were an hour early, but you couldn't do the actual time because you had another
podcast
commitment.
Yeah.
So amazingly, our guest today has been so brilliant, so patient with us and so lovely. He has kind of shifted some things around. And he's been able to do our episode an hour and a bit later than planned. I don't know how much it might have messed up his day, but thankfully we got it together. And our guest is, as I said, the brilliant, the patient, Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill. And I am so excited about this chat. This guy is on an absolute tear in the UFC. Last three fights, and we'll mention this in the chat, last three fights, he's got performance bonuses in all three fights. He's ranked sixth in the UFC light heavyweight division. He's got to be staring down a number one contender fight, a potential title opportunity. I mean, I know that division is a little bit log jammed at the moment. There's a few weird things going on and people above him are booked up. We're going to ask him about all this, but he really has been on a tear, and he's such an exciting fighter to watch. You look at the knockouts of Johnny Walker, Jimmy Crute, the way he finished Thiago Santos. I mean, this guy's special.
Yeah, and stick about to the end. There's a little call-out from him, a little exciting call-out at the end as well. before we get on with the episode, if it's your first time listening, go check out the back catalogue after today's episode with Jamal. We've had a real sort of who's who of the MMA community on, from not just fighters, but, you know, people like commentators and referees and all sorts of people within the industry. We've also had some, you know, celebrities like James Arthur that have come on, big UFC fans that want to come on and talk about their favourite fighters and fights and such. So there's well over 100 episodes now. So head over to our YouTube channel if you want to watch them. If you don't want to look at mine and Blake's ugly mug, you just want to have a little listen, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to them. But I think that's enough waffle from us. Should we get on to the good stuff?
Let's get on to the good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure and, you know, I'm quite relieved to say, here is Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill. Jamal, hey, yes, it's worked. Jamal, you're a legend. Thank you so much for this. Like, I messed up with the time zones. Then we had an issue with the Zoom link. Like, you've been incredibly patient with us. Thank you so much. We're idiots, as you'll come to find out. But thank you.
We all mess up sometimes.
Right, well, I mean, I'd love to jump straight in with you, Jamal, and just say, like, I'd like to ask you where it was that you grew up, and was that a place where you felt like it was important to be tough and to be able to deal well with confrontation?
I grew up in a combination of a couple of places. I was born in Chicago, moved from Chicago when I was still like a toddler. So I moved down to Southern Illinois, down to Williamson County area. First place we lived was called Cope, Illinois. It's literally like a small, small patch of nothing town down, but the area is a little bit bigger. So you got like little different sections that are different towns. But that area is pretty much hold up and say that. I grew up there until I was about 12 before I moved to Grand Rapids.
So you moved at 12 years of age. Was that difficult? Because at that kind of age, you know, you're entering like puberty and all that kind of stuff. You know, things are, I think life for teenagers, particularly this day and age and stuff, it can be quite tough. Was that a difficult time to kind of move, change areas and all that? And that did that influence maybe like the friendship groups you ran in or again, situations where you'd find yourself in confrontational moments? Because I have seen you on other podcasts and stuff talk about, you know, getting into street fights, stuff like that. So was moving at that age a big thing in your life, do you think?
Yeah, it was huge. Obviously, your environment molds who you are and things like that. As far as me, like a change in me, like personally, like, oh, it, like, did it disrupt or move or something? Nah, because like where we were at, I was actually ready to get from down there. It was small, small minded and things like that. You know, I was ready to move on. I was ready to move on and be somewhere else. And I was up for new things. You know, when you're a kid, you're more adventurous and you're more open to new things. So I feel like I was more so at that stage, more so than just being locked in, like, oh, I got my group of friends, because it wasn't that, you know. Most of the people that I grew up around, you know, I was cool with like that down there, you know, they were getting older. We went to different schools. It wasn't like we were together every day. Only people I was with every day was my brothers, you know, so they were kind of with me. So we were good. And,
Jamal, we see that when I was sort of looking into your formative years, you played basketball at a high level. Why was there a switch to MMA from basketball?
Easier to get the results that I want, you know. Basketball, you can be good, you know, which I was good, but and still not make it anywhere, still not do anything, you know, things like that. MMA, it's all on your shoulders. If you don't have the, like in basketball, if you don't have the right team in the game, you won't see success. But with MMA, it's all on my shoulders. As long as I'm successful, I can't be denied. It's the one sport that if you are truly the cream of the crop, you will rise to the top.
Yeah. And that journey, when that started, Jamal, like, was that did you start at a boxing club, or by that point was it an established MMA gym? Did you start straight with MMA, or was it a sort of certain disciplines and it sort of led to MMA?
Nah, I started with MMA. Whenever I first came into the gym, it was actually a jiu-jitsu school, but they did MMA classes after jiu-jitsu class, so I got the mixture of both of those at the same time. But plus, I've just been comfortable fighting because I've been in a lot of situations where, you know, where those same type of feelings and emotions come into play. So I've gotten used to dealing with them. Shit, and even worse. So, you know, shit, sometimes motherfucker had a gun.
Yeah. Well, you had a situation where you were about to have a fight with someone and they had a gun.
Plenty of times.
You say that so, but I mean, we're English. We don't have this kind of the kind of gun culture that's in America. Like, you hear crazy stories about, like, oh, you can just pop down to Walmart and you can buy a gun and stuff like that. Like, we don't have anything like that here.
Yeah, that's surprising, man. That's like kind of wild to me because, like, you know, if you watch movies and shit, like a lot of the movies, like with English gangsters, y'all motherfuckers have guns.
it's only the gangsters. You can't just pick them up at the local Tesco's. That's the thing. It's not the same thing.
Hold on, bro. I done seen a couple grandpas come down. They got a, who's son? It's me dad. Come on, man.
Well, one of the things that I wonder, did this influence your decision to move into MMA? Because you talked about, like, wanting the responsibility solely on your shoulders. And one of the things that happened with you at a young age is you became a very young dad. You were a dad at 15, I believe it was. And did that kind of the idea of, like, I've got to take care of more than just myself now, was that an influence on you to go, I can't rely on other people, I've got to take everything on my shoulders, it's all got to be about me now, because it's not just about your future, but you're providing for your children now and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I felt the sense of responsibility, like I had to grow up and things like that, more accountability. But did it click like it was supposed to, like right away? No, you know, but I'm a learning individual as I go along and pick up things. I try to implement them and be better every day. So,
have you learned ways of balancing? Because I asked this question to Michael Chandler a little while ago as well, because he became a dad more recently at a much older age, where, you know, you're obviously going to be more level-headed in your 30s than what you are in your teens and stuff like that. But even he said, you know, there's a lot of difficulty when it comes to balancing life as a father and being an elite level athlete. When you're talking about the level of athleticism, dedications to various martial arts that someone in your position, so highly ranked in the UFC, you've got to be disciplined, you've got to spend so much time honing your craft,
but you got to be ready to, got to be willing to leave and spend time away from him, you know. He trains exactly down in Sanford. He don't live there.
Yeah,
you know? That's those are like sacrifices like that. Trying to build your brand, going, taking trips, and things like that. Just spending time away. So yeah, those are sacrifices he means.
Yeah, but do you find that balance difficult to achieve? Because I know he said he does. He said that, you know, there is no perfect kind of balance. You just do what you think is right at the right time.
Exactly, it's impossible to achieve. I seen this quote. I seen a guy say this once. It was how can you really win as a father? Because if I'm around all the time, we don't have a home. You don't have food. You don't have things. How well are you provided for? But then if I'm working and I'm gone all the time, then you don't have me. So it's a give and take, bro. So how do you win a situation?
Do you have any, like, advice that you would give either to yourself when you first became a dad, or to any young dad that might be listening to this podcast now or watching on YouTube or whatever, thinking, God, I'm about to be a dad and I don't feel mature enough or ready yet? Do you have, like, a piece of advice or something that you would either give to them or your younger self?
Man, when somebody says they're not mature, not being mature enough, that's them admitting and knowing that they're not ready to put to put that child before themselves. That's what that is, and that's what it is. That's what you have to do. You have to put that child has to be put to the forefront. How you move should be about securing that child's future and protection and provision of that child.
Jamal, what would you say if your children were interested in pursuing mixed martial arts?
I ain't something else to do.
Do any of them like accompany you to the gym or anything like that, or show any interest? Because you've got 6 kids, yeah. Am I right?
Yeah, my youngest son, that's all he wants to do is fight.
How old is he?
Oh, he's 3. 3. My middle daughter, she likes to go to the gym. She likes to she's in jiu-jitsu classes. She does them.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But other than that, yeah, the rest of them, they kind of do their own thing.
I mean, one of the things that, you know, for anybody that's done martial arts on any level, is there's obviously you learn a lot of discipline and you learn, you know, respect for each other and things like that. One of the things that we saw after your fight with our very own Paul Craig was obviously the there was the injury to your elbow. But what we saw that night was you guys were at, you know, having a drink together and stuff. Like, tell me about the levels of respect that you've seen in MMA, you know, like post fight. I mean, obviously, once that kind of pre fight hype's out of the way, once that fight's done, what's your relationship like with that fighter?
Man, we just got money together. I mean, we business partners, we signed a contract, we did a deal, we did our job, you know, and anything after that is just like, you know what I mean? What is really the problem? What is really the beef? Like, cause like, bro, I come from real beef, like real type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, after this, we done fought now, we done settled it. What else is there now? So like, I mean, we got money together. We did what we came out to do, see who was better. We had the answer. We got our answer for that, to that question for that night. And who could show up better, man?
Yeah.
We got that. We got the answer for that. So what's after that? Because in the streets, if you lose a fight, somebody fight, man, you know what I mean, you don't want to drop it after that. Now somebody got to die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that serious. It's business. It's business. It's a career.
And obviously with that specific fight, you know, it went against you that night. And then I'm interested to know, because you've now gone on an absolute tear and you've looked devastating in every fight since that. Like, tell me, you know, was there any significant changes and you know, taking a loss for the first time, right? Like, in that, how did you deal with that mentally?
It was easy for me. I dealt with accountability, man. All right. I lost. Fuck excuses. I lost. What can you do? What did you do wrong? What could you have done to prevent that? okay? Here's the thing, all right, don't let him just pull me down to the ground. All right, answer that, and now let's answer that. Can I grapple with him? Was it the fact that I didn't feel like I grappled with him? No. The thing was, I went down and I grappled with him on his terms.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I let him dictate when we hit the ground, what position, how we hit the ground. I let him dictate too many things and just think that I was going to be okay. That's like being in an NBA basketball game, thinking that you're going to be missing layups and free throws and still the game is going to be close. It won't be. You know what I mean? Yeah. Damn, I did an NBA analogy. Yeah, don't watch basketball.
I don't. I think it's growing a little bit over here, but no, most people are not really into the basketball over here. Right. But it's growing.
I don't really watch soccer or football or y'all version of football like that. But it's like if this guy's really good at dribbling, he's got a really accurate shot, right? Am I going to allow him to set up and get clean looks, or am I going to at least put something in the way? You know what I'm saying? Try to at least make it a little bit difficult for him. Try to make him do something a little bit more on my terms, where I have a little bit more control. Maybe whereas that be cut him off here, so he only has the angle to kick here, to where now the goalie has less to worry about. You get what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, we like, follow you. Yeah.
I don't even know soccer, and I just broke that shit down like
no,
that.
No, but it was perfectly analyzed, mate. Perfectly analyzed.
Things like that.
I mean, you seem so sort of practical with your approach to things. It's like, right, that's went wrong like that. How did that go wrong? Okay, moving forward. So I'm always interested in fighters' mentality and a mindset. And we always like to ask fighters like what their routine is. That moment before you get the call to walk out into the arena, when you're sitting in the room waiting for the call, what's your process? Because we've heard so many different ones, from people that will literally, headphones on, will try and have a sleep, and we've got other people that will hit pads. Like, have you got a specific routine, or have you got any kind of little things that you do each time, or is every fight its own beast?
I listen to music. If anybody's back there with me, they say I'm listening to music, I'm turned up, I'm jamming, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm flowing. I'm loose. I like to get a good sweat going, to where, you know, my body's already a little, you know what I mean, already a little after it, you know. Yeah, man. Just make sure my guys are good. Make sure my guys are locked in and comfortable, ready to go.
And so, you touched on music there as well, and it seems your walkout music seems to change a lot. Have you not settled on the right track yet? Are you still searching for the golden track, or is it just each time this one sounds good, this is pumping me?
Each one put me in the series, whatever's turning me up at that moment, whatever's getting me hype, you know what I mean, at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It changed. I've had a long ass camp, so the song has changed. It changed at the time.
You know. As Stu alluded to there, you've had a real tear at the moment in the UFC. Your three performance bonuses in your last three fights. Do you thinking about bonuses when you're in the middle of a fight, or are you just dealing with the fight? And also after a fight, if you've had like either a really good fight or a clean knockout or anything like that, are you watching the rest of the card and going, I hope the rest of this card's really shit, so I'm guaranteed that 50K?
Early on, that's kind of, it might have been a little bit like that, but now I understand how it kind of works. So if you're a main event, you get a knockout, typically you get a bonus.
Yeah. So you don't have to, you don't worry about that stuff anymore. You're just like, if I do my job, it'll come.
Yeah.
So when it gets to that point where you've got the win and you go back, weight cuts obviously, you know, long gone. We're always interested to know with fighters, like, once that fight's done, what's your go-to treat? What do you eat?
Honestly, I think about all the things I'm going to eat after the fight. Other than that, after the fight, I'm really not even hungry.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, just think about it so much. It just more so just mentally builds you up. Usually after the fight, I'm usually not even really hungry. I usually just go get drinks.
Yeah.
Currently on a three fight win streak. Your last six fights have finished inside the distance. You're one of the most exciting and fan-friendly fighters that there is on the UFC roster. With Glover rematching Jiří in what was a great first fight as well, Blachowicz is taking on Ankalaev. For someone in your position, on the tear you're on, all these performance bonuses, being such a fan-friendly fighter, what do you think is the next fight for you? And how far away are you from that title shot? Because given what I've just mentioned, you shouldn't be far away at all. But it seems like everyone above you is either injured or booked in a fight. So what do you feel is next for you?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next is top five. Fight somebody in the top five. Fight somebody in top five, get a good performance tonight and try to make my case for a title shot. You know, I want that title. I want to fight for the title now as soon as now. I'm on that track as soon as possible. Like before, it was I was taking my time and things like that, but I feel like now I'm ready and now my time is now. You know, I was in the back while I was getting ready for the Thiago Santos fight. We were just warming up and I'm just playing out the fight, being in this moment again and everything. And it felt different. It felt different this time. It felt like it was just, I'm just felt like him, like who can really beat me? Who's really on this level that I'm on? Who's really processing these things and has the capabilities that I have, you know? And to some people that might sound crazy and it might sound wild, but I know what I can do. I've seen it. I've trained it. I've worked it. People have only seen a small taste, like the Jimmy Crute fight. I landed three punches. You know what I mean? Johnny Walker, the first time I set up the first setup, the fight was over. Thiago, I don't really think people get so caught up in the emotion and the hype of a fight. They don't look into the small details and things. If you actually look into the small details of that fight, like some of the shots, just the shots, the power that was able to be generated from in small while we were in those grappling exchanges, they may not look like nothing. None of my shots are insignificant. They all hurt. They're all damaging. They're all hard. They're all solid. You know, and just how he was broken down through that, and then just the how to deal with the power and things like that. I think people would understand that I'm on a different level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you turned Thiago Santos into a wrestler. I mean, it was that kind of like third round or something like that. He was not interested in striking with you anymore because. Say that again. Sorry.
Shot in the first round.
Yeah. But I mean, he really did. I felt like it was like, later on, after he really felt the power and he obviously couldn't deal with your striking,
that
desperation, exactly. That's what kind of set in. And it's very rare to see someone like Thiago Santos go to that place. But just to clarify, even though there's some injuries and there's fights booked in with fighters ahead of you, you're not interested in taking anyone on that's behind you. You are only looking forward right now, even if you've got to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, how do you see the Glover and Jiří rematch going? Because if Glover wins, the chances are that he would just retire anyway, maybe. Like, do you see Glover taking that fight, retiring and leaving a vacant belt, or do you think Yuri's got his number?
I don't think so. I think if Glover, if you think about it, Glover didn't defend it. He never defended the title.
So you think he would stay and try and defend it?
I think he at least defends it, tries to defend it one time. If I was trying to move this, there's certain things I think Glover is actually pays attention to certain little things like that. And title defense,
you know, because
if we're being honest, yeah, the fight was great, but by technical rule, he didn't defend the belt. So did he deserve a title a rematch?
I agree with you. Normally, I think you need to defend that belt three or so times before you get like an immediate rematch in a fight.
Yeah, I think he more so got it because of the state of the division, right? Mm-hmm. There was no real other clear-cut case. You know what I mean? Yep. So, all right, sure, why not get a rematch? So the closest thing he had to that was the rematch. You know, like if Rakic doesn't blow out his knee and he finishes the fight against Blachowicz and he wins that fight, Rakic would have been it. Rakic would have had a case for the rematch, for the title shot right then. I feel like, then how things ended with Magomed and Smith, same thing with them. You know, now if they go in, they have like a nice thing. If it doesn't end in an injury and Magomed finishes him early on, I think Magomed would have had a case for possibly, the title. So it's all
Blake,
the division as well.
Blake touched on something that, you're a fan favorite and you're always in exciting fights. And you also touched on something when you were talking about that sacrifice from being away from family to build the brand. Like, how much sort of time and focus do you have to sort of put on that side of things, aside from training and fighting? You know, we've seen that the world of MMA just evolve into this thing where social media presence and all of these things, which, 10 years ago didn't really have a big impact. Now we're seeing that to have that kind of profile can get you fights and can, get you a lot of attention and can make you money. How much sort of time and effort do you have to sort of set aside to build Jamal the brand?
Quite a bit. I mean, it all depends on what level you like. What do you want to get out of this, right? So a fighter's life and this time is short, anything can happen. You can be hot for a quick second and all that. So I don't know about most people, but me, yeah, I wanted to be a champion, but I also got in this for financial, to build something to where I can build finances from this, So, I spend a lot of time on that side, making videos for social media, going, talking to people, connecting with people, like just going to chilling to learn things, just to hang out and learn new things about business and different, just anything, So I personally think you should invest a lot of time, as much as you can, into it.
Jamal, you've been really good to us today, and we know we've only got a limited amount of time with you. I just wanted to ask you a couple more kind of quick fiery questions. Do you have any kind of hobbies or ways to relax away from MMA? I can see you doing something now that might help you relax away from MMA. Do you have anything that is your kind of go-to hobby or thing completely not related to mixed martial arts?
I have a few things. I play video games. I go play other sports. Go and hang out. Just enjoy life.
Just the usual things. Just get away from the sport in that way. And your last two fights, they've been scheduled for five rounds. You haven't needed five rounds, but do you have to do, obviously you have to prepare physically, cardio wise, for the difference between three and five rounds. Is there anything mentally that you have to do different when you're about to get in there for five rounds opposed to three?
I'm looking to end the fight as soon as possible, regardless, so I just work at that pace for the one. Pace that I choose to fight at is a pace that I feel like I can do forever for as long as I need to.
Yeah.
So I have to focus on that.
Yeah.
That aspect.
I'm always interested to know if you could have fought any fighter of any time, who would you have loved to have had the opportunity to have fought?
John Jones.
Yeah. That would have been an absolutely cracking fight. I think that would have been great.
Ass. Y'all, that ain't done. That ain't done.
As long as do you reckon you would move up to heavyweight?
What? For that?
Would you move up to heavyweight?
That, of course.
Absolutely. And what was more, you don't seem like someone that gets nervous, but what was more nerve-wracking for you, if at all? Was it the UFC debut or the fight on the Contender Series? Because there's so much riding on that Contender Series fight, but less people are watching it. UFC debut, way more eyeballs.
Neither. I was nervous for neither. I knew I was going to win.
I love it.
If anything, I might have been had a little bit more concern for my UFC debut because I broke my hand a few weeks before.
You broke your hand just before it, and you still put on that performance in UFC debut.
Oh yeah, I wasn't gonna. I had been put on the shelf for 7 months. You know, I've been waiting to fight. I wasn't my first fight. I damn sure wasn't gonna get the pulling out was not an option. That's why the whole Paul Craig, when he said pull out, I don't pull out. I had a broken fucking hand, and I still did.
Jesus.
I've got one more question for you, Jamal. You just said that your dream fight would be John Jones, and you know there's no reason why, you know, down the line that fight can't happen. How would that fight go?
Me winning dominantly.
Knockout?
I think I could get him out of there. If not, I think it'd either be that, or I think it'd be a really fun chess match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see it as well. Jamal, whatever fight comes next, we wish you all the best of luck with it. Not that you're going to need luck. You seem to be totally in control of your own destiny. You seem very, very calm and collected. Wishing you all the best, mate. And thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me. It was good talking to you.
Oh, thanks loads, Jamal.
Anytime, mate.
Oh, lovely stuff. I mean, we should mention... At the beginning, before we had so much to-ing and fro-ing trying to get the time difference right to get the interview to happen. But a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, but we got there and he delivered.
I mean, I was so happy. I was so annoyed at myself because I was going to ask him this, but I didn't in the end. I swear the clocks must have gone back in America over the last couple of days.
Look at this. He's still making excuses.
No, here's the thing. I looked it up. Michigan, where he is, has two different time zones. And I was like, a bit unsure about it. But then he said he was Eastern time.
Yep.
And I looked that up. They were 4 hours behind us. And then a couple of days later, they were 5 hours behind us. I'm sorry. That makes no sense. Something's gone wrong.
Right.
Either the internet is wrong or daylight savings time is wrong.
Witchcraft.
It's not my fault. Witchcraft is probably Elon Musk. I don't know. It's, you know, it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
I mean.
But he was really patient with us and came on later. So what a legend. Lovely, lovely bloke. And super chilled for reason. Who knows why he's so chilled? Couldn't
very
be anything
chilled.
To do with what he seemed very chilled. Why was he so chilled?
No idea.
Particularly at the end of the interview. Was there a little fire in his house?
I don't know.
Some kind of gaseous substance around there.
But I mean, it chilled him to the point where he, you know, there's a call out for John Jones. He wants to fight John Jones. He'll go to heavyweight and fight John Jones. He thinks he'd dominate him.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
And a terrific English accent. What more do you want from the man? Fantastic. But honestly, big thank you to Jamal for coming on. And he really is a fan favourite.
Yeah.
Like, the last six fights have all been finishes. One of them, Paul Craig finished him in that nasty fashion. But all the other fights, he's been knocking people out left, right and centre. He's finished Thiago Santos, knocked out Johnny Walker, knocked out Jimmy Crew. I mean, the list goes on and on. He constantly is getting finishes at the moment.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Make no mistake.
Phenomenal.
He weren't done against Paul Craig. He was game as fuck. I mean, his arm was hanging off.
He was game as fuck. He's fucking nuts. He's game as fuck. And also, at the end of it, he just kind of sits down. He's like, oh, yeah, my arm's broken. It's like, yeah, mate, if that was me, I'd be screaming for the medic.
Oh, no.
Like, I'd be like a scene out of Saving Private Ryan. And he's just there like, oh, yeah, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
We should say, at this point, we had a great chat with Bear Jew after that, didn't we? And
we did.
And so go check
like
out.
Almost immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a big chat with him. And he talked about Jamal and him going for drinks.
I know.
So flick through our back catalogue after this.
Great chat with Paul.
And go and listen to the great Paul Craig interview that we did a while ago now, but yeah. It's still a cracking listen.
Absolutely.
And you get to hear him talking a little bit about going out with Jemele Hill, and also I think maybe he got chucked out of a limo or something. I'm not 100% sure.
He woke up the day before, didn't he, and couldn't remember a lot of what had happened. I think he had a big night.
Go and check out the interview to fill in the gaps. But yes, it was a big night for Paul.
And we'll have to chat to Paul because obviously he's got a fight coming up against Johnny Walker.
A Jemele Hill victim, Johnny Walker.
Yes.
Are we done? Is there anything more to say?
Just go check out the back catalogue. Got a big who's who of all your favourite fighters. If this was your first time listening, then go and have a little rummage around in that archive. There's stacks there for you. We'll be back next time. Thanks ever so much for supporting the podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, give us a subscribe, drop us a comment. And if you're listening to us wherever you get your podcast, then like, love, share, and follow us on the socials. There you go. That's all we ask. Not a lot.
Laters, yeah?
Bye.